Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, I'm John Osterlind. So I just saw this story about this man who is in incredible shape. I mean, there's not one tiny bit of fat on him. And he lives a unique lifestyle. He says, I eat raw liver, testicles, and bone marrow, and it's transformed my life.
Ew!
I would say anyone who eats testicles could say that it's transformed my life. This man swears by a caveman diet. And he eats those things every day. His name is Brian Johnson. Not to be confused with the singer from AC/DC or the new rookie kicker of the New Orleans Saints. This Brian Johnson.
Johnson.
He swears by a caveman diet. Even though I don't think he swears much. His nickname is Liver King. He's been living in the wilderness, eating raw meat and following a regimented ancestral lifestyle for 20 years. Isn't that something else, how someone like this 20 years ago could just say, look, I'm just not happy with the way life is. I'm going to live an ancestral lifestyle, basically like a caveman, and I'm going to go on the, I'm going to eat what cavemen ate.
Yeah, see, how do we know for sure that cavemen ate testicles? Like, is there research that can support that theory, that cavemen actually ate testicles back in the day?
They had to get their protein from someplace, Coleman.
Now, when you say that this man eats testicles, please don't tell me you mean human testicles. What kind of testicles?
Well, hold on here. Maybe you want to jump to that. He follows what he calls 9 ancestral tenets, which include strict rules on eating, exercise, and sleeping. His aim is to go back to the lifestyle that we as human beings had centuries ago, living without modern day comforts and eating simply. Testicles to me, I guess that's simple eating. You know, I said to you the other day, Coleman, you and I have that in common when it comes to eating. We're both simple eaters. Yeah. I know that I'm a very simple eater.
Yeah, it doesn't take much to please me when it comes to food.
But I'm not this simple.
Yeah, raw, that's where I draw the line. At least flame it up. You mean to tell me cavemen didn't rub two sticks together just to make a flame to kind of, you know, cook their meat just a little bit?
He regularly posts pictures and videos of himself digging into raw meat and is a firm believer in using parts of an animal for optimum health.
All right.
So even though he's living like a caveman, He still goes on social media, I guess, because he's in his 40s. He had a number of businesses and was living the American dream. And then he decided to change his life. He says his boys, I guess his sons, got sick. He said, the more my boys interacted with the modern world, the more severe and abundant their allergies became. And so he said the real wake-up call was when one of my sons stopped breathing. We were lucky. We made it to the hospital just in time. But he said he blames, you know, his son's getting sick for... he blames that on just the everyday stuff that we deal with as human beings. He says time outdoors led to hives. Even interaction with our family dogs sparked shortness of breath, puffy eyes, and runny noses. He said, the more my boys interacted with the modern world, the more severe and abundant their allergies became. And then he said, my wife and I were determined to confront the cause, never to test our luck again. We did what all parents would do. We tried everything, and that's where our journey began. So he's got a wife and sons who live this caveman lifestyle with him. I guess the wife would be cavewoman. He said, we first eliminated processed foods. We began to reintroduce the nutrition of our ancestors, seasonal fruits and vegetables, nose-to-tail animals, including the most nutrient-dense part of all, the liver. So no, when it comes to the testicles, Coleman, he's not eating human testicles. He's eating animal testicles.
I have so many questions.
He said, within just 2 weeks, we saw radical change in our boys' well-being. Our own, too. 2 decades later, I eat a pound of liver every single day. Ugh.
Okay, so here's my deal. When they find these animals that they eat from head to tail, does he require a hunting license like the rest of us? Or like, how does this even work? Because I'm thinking to myself, where's this guy located at to where he can find these animals that he could eat from head to tail? And two, is there any kind of, you know, precautions? Like, you know how we have to get fishing license so we don't fish too much, or we have to get hunting license so there's like a size requirement to the game that we hunt. Does he have to apply by the same rules that every other big game hunter has to apply by when he goes hunt his prey?
It doesn't say where he lives, which cave he lives in, where the cave is in the world. Because I guess he doesn't want other people showing up there. But Coleman, specifically on eating testicles, he said social norms are, well, just that. If you want more, you have to become more. So stretch yourself. Leave the comfort of the cave. Do something drastically different for the betterment of you and the betterment of humanity, and break ground like a good evolutionary hunter does.
I love the way he's saying evolution, but he's going backwards. He said, I'm going to evolve into a better human by going backwards into the caveman ancestral times. You know, it's easy for us to judge and say this guy's crazy, but when you look at him, he is completely ripped. Like, he looks like one of those 1980s wrestlers when they was all doped up and on steroids, but it's all natural.
Yeah, there isn't one eighth of a centimeter of fat on him. I mean, he is just, he's pure
muscle.
And you're really not supposed to eat raw meat, but he does. I mean, you could get sick eating raw meat, but he does it. He's something else. Again, his name is Brian Johnson. He's a caveman, and he lives like cavemen lived and eats like cavemen ate a long, long, long time ago. But I mean, that's something, just to be able to walk away from everything life here in the year 2021 has to offer.
Yeah, he looks great. I'm not gonna lie. Now I want to see how his wife and kids look too, just to see these as ripped as he is. I'm gonna have to check this guy out on social media.
I mean, this Brian Johnson looks as good as Brian Johnson, the singer from AC/DC, sings. I mean, this Brian Johnson looks as good as the rookie kicker for the New Orleans Saints, Brian Johnson, kicks, because he still hasn't missed yet.
Johnson.
I just found that to be an absolutely wild story.
Yeah, if eating testicles is the way to get in the shape, I'm just going to keep my body the way it is.
Hey, yesterday, coming up on the show, did you see yesterday afternoon, there was a small airplane that landed on the highway on the North Shore? Did you see that? No one was hurt. That's the second plane crash that we've seen in the last couple of weeks where nobody got hurt. It's a miracle. We have a lot to do on the show this morning. Hang out with us. here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, John Osterlund here with you. Yesterday afternoon, late in the afternoon, a pilot landed a small airplane on Interstate 12 next to Hammond. And nobody got hurt. How awesome was that? And the plane was so small, a tow truck took it away. That was wild to see. But evidently, the call came in to air traffic control. And the call was 9 Romeo Whiskey. We've got no oil pressure and the engine's fixing to seize or something's gonna happen here. That's what the pilot told air traffic control. And so then the pilot landed. He bumped a pickup truck that was driving on Interstate 12 in the westbound lanes, right near the Pumpkin Center exit up there. And then after he bumped the pickup truck, he landed the small airplane on Interstate 12. He saved his life and the life of the passengers who were on that plane. The only thing that was really bad was the traffic backup after that.
So did the plane use its blinker when it came down to merge into the traffic?
I didn't see a blinker. Coleman, I don't even think he used his hazard lights. But that's something. And again, the pilot was in communication with air traffic control several miles from the Hammond North Shore Regional Airport. And he was telling controllers he had a serious mechanical issue.
If it was a small plane, how many passengers did they have altogether?
There wasn't very many people on the plane. There was only a couple of passengers on it. The plane is owned by a man from Katy, Texas. It took off from a small airport in Houston.
Uh-oh. I'm starting to see a pattern here.
And he had to make an emergency landing on Interstate 12. Next to Hammond yesterday, and it happened to be right at the beginning of the afternoon rush hour.
The last time we talked about a plane that had a malfunction, it was also out of Houston, right? Astros fans?
That's right. Last week on our show, we did the story of that airplane that was in the process of taking off. It was flying from Houston to Boston because it wanted the people on the plane were going to see the American League Championship Series game between the Houston Astros and the Boston Red Sox. But that plane, it never got off the ground.
Right. So there's something going on with these planes coming out of Houston.
Yeah, and that plane had a few more people on it than this small plane yesterday. But that plane hit something, crashed, caught on fire, and everybody on that plane got out.
Yeah, they were
without, and there was no serious injuries, and there was no death. So we've seen a couple of instances with airplanes.
Yeah, the one last week they got the slide down the inflatable slide to escape. I never got to do that before in a plane crash.
The pilot of the plane yesterday is originally from Hammond. He says the oil filter spun off and the engine seized. And there's oil all over the outside of the plane. The plane has a damaged wing and nose. So do I. I wasn't even in an airplane yesterday, but I just thought that was that was some story, how someone took an airplane down. The pilot needed to land. I got to land somewhere. Oh, here's Interstate 12. And there happens to be a pickup truck here, and he nipped the pickup, but the person or people in the pickup didn't get hurt. So
where do you go from there? Like, do you just call an Uber to go the rest of the trip? Like, if you're on the plane and the plane lands in the middle of the interstate, like, what do you do? Do you call another plane to come get you? Call a helicopter? Like, because you have to go to where you're going, right?
But he called. I don't know if he called. I don't know who called the tow truck, but he did. what most of us drivers do when our car, if we can't get it going, we need to get it towed. And I saw the tow truck driving down the highway with the plane on it. it was a small plane. But that's, I just think it was a good news story. I know it would have sucked if you got stuck in that traffic for a little while, but boy, look what, basically a miracle. I thought that was really cool. All right, coming up on the show. Are you ready for Halloween on Sunday night? I've got a few Halloween facts for you. Also, last night, Dave Chappelle and Joe Rogan played the Smoothie King Center. And, you know, Dave Chappelle, there's a bunch of people who are not happy with him because of his new special on Netflix. They said he was homophobic and transphobic. Yet Caitlyn Jenner backs Dave Chappelle. Caitlyn Jenner said that Dave Chappelle is 100% right. Tickets for that show in New Orleans last night, they were going for big money. Hang out with us. We got a lot to get to on the show this morning. Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Are you ready for Halloween on Sunday? Police are warning people who live in big meth areas of our country. Police are warning there that drug dealers are distributing crystal meth candy. It's popular with trick-or-tweakers.
Nobody's giving away meth for free.
Yeah, I know. But I guess even before Halloween, Coleman, where meth is big in this country.
I'm on meth.
I guess some people who make meth are putting it in candy. I guess some meth heads.
They have a sweet tooth or a sweet teeth.
Well, I was just going to say, if meth didn't take all your teeth out of your mouth fast enough, here's we'll mix it with sugar and candy. Anyway, it's Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, J.O. here. Last night, Dave Chappelle and Joe Rogan performed in the round at the Smoothie King Center. You know, when that happens in an arena, when an artist, whether it's a band or a comedian, when they set up in the middle of the floor, they put their stage in the middle of the floor, That means there will be more seats available. That means more people will be able to get into the arena. And that's how they performed last night. And if you looked at ticket prices, and by the way, this was the third attempt to play the Smoothie King Center in New Orleans for those two. The first one was canceled because of the virus. The second one was canceled because of Hurricane Ida. And so last night, Dave Chappelle and Joe Rogan, finally, the third time was a charm, finally played New Orleans. And for the record, I like both of those guys. I'm a fan of both. I think Dave Chappelle is as funny a person as we have. His television show, in my opinion, is the funniest television show ever on television in the history of television.
Is Wayne Brady going to have to choke a bitch?
I think the Chappelle show, and I don't even know if there really was a close second.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
And so, you know, I was going to go last night, but the last minute, I said, you know, I mean, it was a school night, and it's tough doing things late at night during the week when we have to be here so early in the morning. But I was going back and forth yesterday, Coleman, I almost called you at the last minute and said, hey, I got you a ticket. You want to go? But tickets were expensive.
Yeah, but we had to, 3 a.m, dude, I had to wake up.
I know.
See, if it was a Friday or Saturday, maybe.
Oh, yeah. But anyways, and there's a lot of people right now, well, some people, I don't know how many, that aren't happy with Dave Chappelle because in the last special he did for Netflix called The Closer, said a couple of things about, he was talking a little bit about gay people and transgender people, and some people didn't like what he said about them and called him homophobic and transphobic. And, you know, Caitlyn Jenner came out and backed Dave Chappelle. Caitlyn Jenner said Dave Chappelle is 100% right. And I think it's safe to say Caitlyn Jenner is the most famous transgender person that we know of. And Caitlyn Jenner is also not liked by many in the LGBTQ, the letter crew. Caitlyn Jenner is not liked by a lot of people who otherwise support transgender people, because Caitlyn Jenner, a lot of people in that community don't agree with her politics, don't agree with Caitlyn Jenner. And when Caitlyn Jenner backed Dave Chappelle and said, he's 100% right, he's not transphobic, a bunch of the people in the LGBTQ started slamming Caitlyn Jenner again.
Yeah, you can't please everybody all of the time, John.
No, you can't.
But I like Dave Chappelle's approach. He's not even buzzed by it. He's just doing his thing. He's not fighting back too much. He's just doing he's doing his job, making people laugh.
Yeah, and that's all. Coleman, that's all he has to do. I mean, he doesn't even have to be speaking right now or working. Dave Chappelle has so much money that it doesn't matter what happens to him. But he's being himself. He's talking about what's going on. And I just thought, it was wild how Caitlyn Jenner backed him, and Caitlyn Jenner is one of the most hated people in the LGBT community, and Caitlyn Jenner is the most famous T that we have. All right, coming up on the show, There are bands who became much bigger when they replaced their singer. And I want to ask you, coming up, I want to ask you if you're like a lot of the other people and preferred the band with the new singer, or you liked the band with the singer that was replaced. I've got some of the biggest bands, most successful bands ever, that I want to get your take on with replacement singers here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning, I'm John Osterlund. And since it's a few minutes after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O.
Oh. Oh.
Oh. Oh. Always want to get your take on our Big O segment. When a rock band replaces its lead singer, it, especially a rock band that is known by some people, a rock band that has already made it to a certain level, if they replace their lead singer, nobody knows how that's going to go. Is it going to improve their band? Make them better? Or is it going to end their band? And I've got a few in front of me here that I wanted to get your take on, and I wanted to know from you, do you have a favorite band who replaced their singer? One of the first bands I always think of when I think of a rock band replacing their singer is AC/DC. They didn't have a choice, because their singer, Bon Scott, died. Although Bon Scott replaced someone else as frontman of AC/DC. They went nowhere. They were a club band at that point, touring all over the place. And then when Bon Scott came into AC/DC, he brought them to a much higher level. And they had just done their biggest album that they had ever done. They had just done the album that sold more copies than any other AC/DC album, Highway to Hell. And then it was in between that album and the greatest album they ever did, Back in Black. That's when Bon Scott died. And they replaced him with Brian Johnson.
Johnson.
And they of course, with that first album with the new singer, that's one of the greatest albums ever recorded. That's one of the biggest selling albums ever recorded, Back in Black. So it worked for AC/DC. I also think of Van Halen. When they replaced David Lee Roth with Sammy Hagar. Now, personally, I prefer the David Lee Roth Van Halen. I was a little kid, and I was like, wow, that was one of my introductions to rock and roll. But the Sammy Hagar Van Halen sold more records than the David Lee Roth Van Halen. So that worked for them as well. So those are the two biggest rock bands who replaced their lead singers. And boy, in both of those instances, it worked. How about Black Sabbath? When they fired Ozzy Osbourne, and they replaced him with Ronnie James Dio. Now, personally, I prefer the Aussie Black Sabbath, but there's no doubt about it, Ronnie James Dio is a much better singer than Ozzy Osbourne. I mean, his vocal range is incredible, and some of the stuff that they did with Ronnie James Dio, Heaven and Hell, and legendary.
You think it worked for both Ozzy and Black Sabbath, the separation? Like, didn't Ozzy become more Ozzy after he left Black Sabbath, like more successful?
Yes, Ozzy Osbourne as a solo artist was bigger than Black Sabbath with Ronnie James Dio. Yes.
Right, so it worked for both. Black Sabbath got more popular after Ozzy, and Ozzy got more popular after Ozzy. So it worked on both of their accounts.
That's right. All right, so I've got a few other bands here, and this is interesting. How about the band Pantera? They were basically a hair metal band until they got New Orleanian Philip Anselmo. When Philip Anselmo joined that Dallas, Texas band, that's when they really took off. And they sounded a lot different. They had a guy, their original singer in Pantera, his name is Terry Glaze. And again, they were more of like an 80s kind of rock band. And they had a few albums with him. And they didn't sound anything like they sounded once they replaced him with the New Orleanian, Philip Anselmo. They sounded like two different bands, actually. And it was the Anselmo version of Pantera that took off.
How often does that happen when a band gets a new singer and all the musicians change their style to accommodate the singer instead of the singer accommodating their style to accommodate the music that the band makes?
It's a good question, Coleman. And I don't know if the other three Pantera guys, I don't know if they change their sound because of Philip Anselmo. I think they just saw the way things were going and they changed their sound. Another band, Faith No More. They had some success with their original singer, a guy named Chuck Mosley. But then they fired him and they hired Michael Patton, the singer of Mr. Bungle. And as soon as they got Mike Patton in the band, that's when they took off. That's when they did really well. I've always felt Faith No More is one of the most underrated rock bands ever. And I think the biggest success story of a band who replaced their lead singer was Iron Maiden. They had a singer named Paul Di'Anno, and they had a couple albums out with him, and they had some success. But then they replaced him with Bruce Dickinson, and then that band went through the roof after they did that. I mean, Bruce Dickinson's vocals, his range is insane. His energy, and a really smart guy too. He's actually a pilot. He flew them around on a tour or two, flew them around the world. It'd be something if you're the drummer or the bass player, and it's like, who's flying the plane? The singer? Wow, he can sing and get us there. Get us home. If you're listening, Do you have a... Are there any of these bands that I just named that you liked better with their old singer? I mean, I think Bon Scott and AC/DC would be at the top of that list for the body of work that they have, and David Lee Roth from Van Halen. I think those two guys would be at the top of the list. Because when it comes to Black Sabbath, you talk to rock and roll fans, I think you're going to have a bunch of them that say, well, I preferred the Ozzy Sabbath. And I think you're going to have a bunch of them that say, I preferred Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlund. And since it's a few minutes after 7, it's time for this morning's Big O. Always want to get your take on our Big O segment. When a rock band replaces its lead singer, it, especially a rock band that is known by some people, a rock band that has already made it to a certain level, if they replace their lead singer, nobody knows how that's going to go. Is it going to improve their band? Make them better? Or is it going to end their band? And I've got a few in front of me here that I wanted to get your take on, and I wanted to know from you, do you have a favorite band who replaced their singer? One of the first bands I always think of when I think of a rock band replacing their singer is AC/DC. They didn't have a choice, because their singer, Bon Scott, died. Although Bon Scott replaced someone else as frontman of AC/DC. They went nowhere. They were a club band at that point, touring all over the place. And then when Bon Scott came into AC/DC, he brought them to a much higher level. And they had just done their biggest album that they had ever done. They had just done the album that sold more copies than any other AC/DC album, Highway to Hell. And then it was in between that album and the greatest album they ever did, Back in Black. That's when Bon Scott died. And they replaced him with Brian Johnson.
Johnson.
And they of course, with that first album with the new singer, that's one of the greatest albums ever recorded. That's one of the biggest selling albums ever recorded, Back in Black. So it worked for AC/DC. I also think of Van Halen. When they replaced David Lee Roth with Sammy Hagar. Now, personally, I prefer the David Lee Roth Van Halen. I was a little kid, and I was like, wow, that was one of my introductions to rock and roll. But the Sammy Hagar Van Halen sold more records than the David Lee Roth Van Halen. So that worked for them as well. So those are the two biggest rock bands who replaced their lead singers. And boy, in both of those instances, it worked. How about Black Sabbath? When they fired Ozzy Osbourne, and they replaced him with Ronnie James Dio. Now, personally, I prefer the Ozzy Black Sabbath, but there's no doubt about it, Ronnie James Dio is a much better singer than Ozzy Osbourne. I mean, his vocal range is incredible, and some of the stuff that they did with Ronnie James Dio, Heaven and Hell, and legendary.
You think it worked for both Ozzy and Black Sabbath, the separation? Like, didn't Ozzy become more Ozzy after he left Black Sabbath, like more successful?
Yes, Ozzy Osbourne as a solo artist was bigger than Black Sabbath with Ronnie James Dio. Yes.
Right, so it worked for both. It worked. Black Sabbath got more popular after Ozzy, and Ozzy got more popular after Ozzy. So it worked on both of their accounts.
That's right. All right, so I've got a few other bands here, and this is interesting. How about the band Pantera? They were basically a hair metal band until they got New Orleanian Philip Anselmo. When Philip Anselmo joined that Dallas, Texas band, that's when they really took off. And they sounded a lot different. They had a guy, their original singer in Pantera, his name is Terry Glaze. And again, they were more of like an 80s kind of rock band. And they had a few albums with him. And they didn't sound anything like they sounded once they replaced him with the New Orleanian, Philip Anselmo. They sounded like two different bands, actually. And it was the Anselmo version of Pantera that took off.
How often does that happen when a band gets a new singer and all the musicians change their style to accommodate the singer instead of the singer accommodating their style to accommodate the music that the band makes?
It's a good question, Coleman. And I don't know if the other three Pantera guys, I don't know if they changed their sound because of Philip Anselmo. I think they just saw the way things were going and they changed their sound. Another band, Faith No More. They had some success with their original singer, a guy named Chuck Mosley. But then they fired him and they hired Michael Patton, the singer of Mr. Bungle. And as soon as they got Mike Patton in the band, that's when they took off. That's when they did really well. I've always felt Faith No More is one of the most underrated rock bands ever. And I think the biggest success story of a band who replaced their lead singer was Iron Maiden. They had a singer named Paul Di'Anno, and they had a couple albums out with him, and they had some success. But then they replaced him with Bruce Dickinson, and then that band went through the roof after they did that. I mean, Bruce Dickinson's vocals, his range is insane. His energy, and a really smart guy too. He's actually a pilot. He flew them around on a tour or two, flew them around the world. Be something if you're the drummer or the bass player, and it's like, who's flying the plane? The singer? Wow, he can sing and get us there. Get us home. If you're listening, Do you have a... Are there any of these bands that I just named that you liked better with their old singer? I mean, I think Bon Scott and AC/DC would be at the top of that list for the body of work that they have, and David Lee Roth from Van Halen. I think those two guys would be at the top of the list. Because when it comes to Black Sabbath, you talk to rock and roll fans, I think you're going to have a bunch of them that say, well, I preferred the Ozzy Sabbath. And I think you're going to have a bunch of them that say, I preferred the Ronnie James Dio Sabbath as well. But it's something when a rock band replaces their lead singer. And again, a rock band who had some success. And then in all of these cases, the new lead singer took them to the highest level. Text us your thought on this. 504-260-9595. Please keep your text short, just one or two sentences, and never text while you're driving. Is there a rock band that you love that changed their lead singer that I didn't mention? And do you, in these instances, it worked out great for these rock bands, and you never know when you change your singer what's going to happen. I mean, there's a really great chance that you could just end up bombing and breaking up. 504-260-9595. If your text is good, I will read it coming up next on the show here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Are you ready for Halloween on Sunday? Halloween is also known as All Hallows Eve. All Hallows Eve. That sounds like a witch hygiene product. Coming up next, your texts on rock bands who replaced their lead singers. And the ones we were talking about in this morning's Big O segment, it worked out really, really well for them. Your texts on that next here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. J.O. with you. If you're just joining us, this morning's Big O segment was on some rock bands who replaced their lead singer. And the handful of bands I gave you, it worked really, really well. Obviously, the biggest bands to do this were the first band that always pops into my head is AC/DC. But then Van Halen, I mean, Black Sabbath. And it worked for all of those bands. And with those three bands, you've got many, many rock fans who are split down the middle. Which version of those bands they like better? Do you like Bon Scott AC/DC more than Brian Johnson AC/DC? Do you like Ozzy Osbourne Black Sabbath? Or do you like Ronnie James Dio Black Sabbath? Do you like David Lee Roth Van Halen more or less than you like Sammy Hagar Van Halen? You know, but then there are some other bands who replaced their front man and they took off. The bands went through the roof. Pantera is one of those bands. They were an 80s hair metal band before New Orleanian Phil Anselmo joined the band. And then they just, they completely had their own sound after that. Faith No More, band I love. They were a band and they were doing okay, but then Mike Patton joined Faith No More, and as soon as he joined, they took off. The biggest band to take off to the highest level when they got a new singer was Iron Maiden, when Bruce Dickinson replaced Paul Di'Anno. I mean, they had some records out, and they were doing okay, but when Dickinson joined the band, skyrocketed them to superstardom. I asked you to text us when it comes to rock bands and them replacing their lead singers.
This first text says, Judas Priest. I preferred the original singer, and it was wrong for the band to get rid of him because he came out.
Well, slow down here. You're talking about Rob Halford. Judas Priest did not kick Rob Halford out of the band because he came out as gay. And to be honest with you, Judas Priest is still going around today with Rob Halford singing.
Lou says, Foreigner, hands down, Lucas Graham was the man.
Lou Graham from Rochester, New York. He had a great voice, and he sang for Foreigner.
The band Disturbed, with their new singer, I think is better than the one that passed away.
Going down sickness.
This text says, Journey, with when Steve Perry came in, it put them to the top.
Yeah, they didn't really. Their keyboard player, Greg Rowley, was singing a bunch of the songs. And, you know, that guy, Greg Rowley, before he was singing for Journey, he sang for Santana. He sang the song Black Magic Woman. And we've had Greg Rowley on our show before. Cool dude.
Ricky says, Remember when Motley Crue replaced Vince Neil? It didn't work out for them. Matter of fact, they got booed off the stage at one of their concerts.
John Corabi replaced Vince Neil for one record, and that did not work. That went the other way. To be honest with you, that's a pretty good album.
Gary says, I'm still not liking Styx since they kicked out Dennis DeYoung.
Yeah, they got a guy who sounds just like him singing the old Dennis DeYoung classics, but they just couldn't get along anymore.
Now, this is the band we got texted the most. Pretty surprising. If you had to guess which band got texted the most, what do you think it would be, John?
I would guess either Van Halen or AC/DC. I don't know.
Genesis replaced Peter Gabriel with Phil Collins, and I believe that was a good switch, but a lot of people texting Genesis.
I was going to bring that up. With Peter Gabriel, they were a prog rock band. They were a progressive rock band, and they were very unique. And then when Phil Collins moved from drums to frontman in that band, they became a pop rock band, and they had so much more commercial success with Phil Collins than they did with Peter Gabriel. But you talk to music fans, you talk to rock fans, many of them will tell you they preferred the old Genesis with Peter Gabriel over the Phil Collins-led Genesis.
And some honorable mentions, you got Pink Floyd, and you got a Lindsey Buckingham, Fleetwood Mac.
Well, Lindsey Buckingham made Fleetwood Mac a commercial success. They were not a commercial success before him. They had some success. And then what was the other one?
Pink Floyd.
You know, Pink Floyd, they've always had two singers. Sure, when they started, the leader of the band, Syd Barrett, sang, but then he took too much acid and lost his mind. And then Roger Waters took over the band. Him and David Gilmour, they both sang in Pink Floyd. So they had two. But yeah, both of those guys, Pink Floyd, had a lot more success with them singing than they did with Syd Barrett. But they all love Syd Barrett. They all say great things about Syd Barrett. Thank you for the text. We appreciate it. I thought this morning's Big O segment was really cool.
Yeah, it was really great.
Because there's a bunch of bands out there that replaced their lead singer and things really never, it didn't work out or whatever the case may be. We gave you some examples because again, when a rock band replaces a lead singer, Lord knows how it's going to go.
You know, the Ass Clowns have had the same lead singer since they formed. They never changed. They're consistent.
It's the unofficial band of the John Osterlin morning show here. All right, I still got the dumbest thing I read all morning coming up on our show. Still got a few more trick-or Halloween treats. Hang out with us here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlund. And yesterday on the show, we talked a bit about Halloween. We're 2 days away from Halloween. I asked you if you're into it. I like Halloween. I'm just, unlike Coleman, when I did live in a house, I always kept my lights on and I always had candy ready for the trick-or-treaters. Coleman said yesterday on the show that his lights won't be on. He doesn't have a big bowl of candy.
Try to hide under the bed.
But now I live in an apartment building and there's nobody that comes into an apartment building and looks for candy. But yesterday when we were talking about Halloween, I mean I still when you think about Halloween as a whole, putting on a costume, going to strangers' houses, knocking on their door and asking them for something. It's the only time that behavior is acceptable is at Halloween.
Yeah, you try going to somebody's house that's not Halloween with a mask on and begging for stuff, it might not work out in your favor.
Now, here in the city of New Orleans, where Halloween could be any night of the year, you know, if you do that on other nights other than Halloween, you might get shot. There's a lot of things that could happen. I just read where, and this record changes seemingly every year or every other year, but the heaviest pumpkin, an Italian farmer named Stefano Cattruppi, he just broke a world record with a 2,702-pound pumpkin. And that just broke the record of a Belgian farmer. And you know what's interesting is the average price, the average retail price of a pumpkin this year is $5.24.
Cha-ching!
Which was up 38% from last year. So even pumpkins, inflation is hitting even the pumpkin market. But I bet you that 2,702-pound pumpkin did not sell for $5.24.
Would he even sell it?
I'll
make a big-ass jack-o'-lantern out of it.
Probably what he should do because... And by the way, a pumpkin is not a vegetable. It's a fruit. Did you know that?
I knew that. Usually, if the seeds are on the inside, most likely it's a fruit. Well, wait. Yeah, and if it's a root, it's a vegetable. Like tomatoes, it's a fruit.
Did you know that 20% of Americans will dress up their pet in a costume? I've seen a few pictures from some of my Facebook friends already. They've got their dogs wearing a costume. The number we have here is 20% of Americans do that.
That's still too high. Poor animals.
79% of parents admit to stealing candy from their kids.
They call that the parent tax. Hell yeah.
That tells me that 21% of parents are setting a bad example for their kids by lying. Because I guess there's 21% of parents who don't steal some of their Halloween candy from their kids.
When you were trick-or-treated as a kid, John, was there something that you ever got upset that you got in your trick-or-treat bag, like a candy that when you opened it, like, oh, I didn't want this crap?
Yeah, actually, when I would get an apple. And what's interesting is now that I'm an adult, I love apples. I love Granny Smith apples. I love them. But when I was trick or treating as a kid, somebody threw an apple in my bucket. I'd be like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, getting an apple in your trick or treat bag is like getting clothes for Halloween. I mean, for Christmas when you're a kid.
Yeah.
You know, you open it, isn't a sweater or some socks or something. Like, stop doing that. Toys.
And I mentioned this yesterday, and Coleman, you never did this. What I liked just as much as Halloween was the night before Halloween. We called it Mischief Night. That's the night you would load up with eggs and toilet paper and shaving cream and go around and have fun with your friends.
See, I wasn't allowed to do that because I grew up in a religious household, and my parents, well, my mom believed that Halloween was like a satanic holiday. So what they would do is everybody would go to church on Halloween night and just stay there until all the festivities were over to protect us from the evil demon spirits and all that. So I never got to do none of the cool stuff like that on Mischief Night.
That's wild, because I'm Catholic. I was raised Catholic, and I never remembered going to church Halloween.
I was raised Southern Baptist. They were a little stricter when it comes down to not getting possessed by evil demons. Yeah, I missed out on a lot of cool stuff because of religious household rules.
Maybe that's why when you became an adult, you look at religion a little bit funny.
Yeah. It's kind of restrictive.
And I just think that the whole thing is pretty cool. I'm just not a big, again, if I a big costume person. If I'm going to a Halloween party and all right, but I think that aspect of it is for the kids.
Yeah, my favorite part of Halloween is, as I said, is women with their creative, sexy outfits, like the sexy nurse or the sexy pirate or the sexy cat or the sexy pumpkin. Just anything they wear, you just put the word sexy in front of it, and it automatically becomes one of my fan favorites.
Yeah, even sexy witch.
Yeah, sexy witch. That son of a
sexy
Halloween's
witch. Always been a great excuse, and it was very socially acceptable for women to be scantily clad no matter what their costume is.
Yeah, and if you see a witch at a party, you know, it's best not to jump the broom with somebody that rides the broom. One night smash, smashing pumpkins. That's it. Let's not try to find your future wife on Halloween night, guys. Be careful out there.
And seemingly the biggest issue every Halloween is the phenomenon known as candy corn. And again, I love candy and I love corn. Corn's one of my favorite vegetables, but I just don't like them together.
Candy corn is one of those things that kind of reminds me of porn. Like, nobody admits to actually enjoying it, but it's always around and it's always successful. You see it everywhere. So somebody's eating candy corn. Somebody's buying it. Somebody's eating it. Yet everybody's looked at it like, ugh, why? So there's some people out there that have a guilty pleasure when it comes to candy corn, and they just don't want to come out and admit it.
So you think candy corn is like handy porn?
Yes.
I got some of that porn handy.
Wait, wrong one. That'd be good.
So we're two nights away from Halloween, and the Saints are playing on Halloween. They host Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday.
That's scary enough.
At the Dome. Yeah, that's going to be scary. It'd be nice if the Saints could scare the poop out of Tom Brady this Halloween.
You think Ingram's going to see some touches?
He's supposed to play. They just got, they got Mark Ingram back. Again, he's not the same Mark Ingram as he was 2.5 years ago. But he'll still be, they need a running back too. They need someone to spell Alvin Kamara. And I think Mark Ingram will be a real good RB2. Anyways, Halloween, cool. It's for the kids, although there are a bunch of adults that love it too. That's what makes Halloween Halloween, and I hope you have a very happy Halloween in a couple of nights. Coming up on our show this morning, I still have the dumbest thing I read all morning. And this was going around yesterday, and a lot of people didn't think it was real. But unfortunately, it was real. And besides the dumbest thing, I got this story about a woman who got something stuck up her nose 20 years ago, and guess what just came out? Stay tuned for those reports coming up here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. 20 years ago, as a child, this woman stuffed a bead up her nose. And it got stuck there. That was 20 years ago. And I just saw this headline. Woman blows out giant booger 20 years after childhood bead stuffing incident. It lived rent-free in her head for 20 years. A woman in Georgia was shocked that she thought it was a huge booger in her nose. Ew! Was actually a bead that had been lodged there for 2 decades. Saw this on TikTok. A TikTok video documenting the disgusting discovery has racked up over 7.6 million views, Coleman. I stared at it in amazement because it was huge and it was inside me for 20 years, 23-year-old Hannah Hamilton said.
So she was three.
Yeah, when she stuck the bead up her nose.
Well, yeah.
She had to be small because you usually the older you get, you wouldn't be sticking beads up your nose.
Well, that makes sense because when you're three, your nose is very, very small. Now she's a grown-ass woman. Her nostrils are probably big enough for the bead to pop out.
She suffered a sinus infection earlier this year. That's when this revolting phenomenon first came to light. And it left her nose completely congested, that sinus infection. Hoping to get to the root of the problem, she examined her nostrils with an earwax camera and discovered a blue object lodged in her nasal passage. She was able to get it out.
I don't know what's more disturbing, the fact that this woman had a bead stuck up her nose for 20 years, or the fact that she documented it on TikTok and so many people were interested in it that it became viral.
That's the one thing we've learned about the internet and social media, Coleman. There are a lot of people who have a lot of time on their hands.
Oh, just the stuff that they're interested in, like the pimple popper stuff and the grossness. I couldn't do it.
Well, good for her.
You're lucky for her.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlund. It's that time of the show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. And I actually read this yesterday. PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, wants Major League Baseball to change the name of the bullpen.
Say what?
They want baseball to change the name of the bullpen to the Arm Barn. Because, well, the bullpen name is offensive to cows. Bulls.
That is bull.
They released a statement, Coleman. According to PETA, words matter and baseball bullpens devalue talented players and mock the misery of sensitive animals. PETA Executive Vice President Tracy Ryman said, PETA encourages Major League Baseball coaches, announcers, players, and fans to change up their language and embrace the Arm Barn instead.
You know, I have to admit, the Arm Barn is a cool name.
It is a cool name.
It is a cool name. So what they should have did, they shouldn't even mention their intentions. They shouldn't have said anything about, oh, because the bullpen might be sensitive to bulls who might take it personally. They should have just had a random dude come up there and said, hey, doesn't Arm Barn sound a lot better than bullpen? And they would have went with it if they had not known what the real objective was. Because the Arm Barn does sound awesome.
I think some old-timers used to call it the Arm Barn.
Yeah. But what's next? Like, you can't call a crow's nest on a ship? Or if you get the majority of the profit, you can't call it the lion's share? Like, what other names do we have that PETA's against because it could devalue the animal?
See, here's what bothers me. I love animals. I would call myself an animal lover. But PETA says so many stupid, dumb, ridiculous things that it's hard to get behind them.
Exactly. And I actually like the Arm Barn, but their reason behind it is idiotic. Because what bull is going to get offended because they say bullpen in the MLB, like a lot of bulls watch the MLB?
Yeah, just the fact that any animal can be offended by bullpen, it's insane.
You know, like, you have bull riding, and you have the riding of the bulls, and the bulls are upset because they heard the commentator on MLB says, well, he's warming up in the bullpen. But the Arm Barn does sound awesome, though. I got to give him credit for that one, the Arm Barn.
Yeah, it is it's a good name. Just the reasoning of why they should change the name makes you want to just take your head and bang it against the wall.
Paya!
So PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, wanting Major League Baseball to change the name of the bullpen to the Arm Barn because the name bullpen is insensitive to cows. Well, that's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans' only classic rock station. Good morning, I'm John Osterlund. And yesterday on the show, we talked a bit about Halloween. We're 2 days away from Halloween. I asked you if you're into it. I like Halloween. I unlike Coleman, when I did live in a house, I always kept my lights on, and I always had candy ready for the trick-or-treaters. Coleman said yesterday on the show that his lights won't be on. He doesn't have a big bowl of candy.
Try to hide under the bed.
But now I live in an apartment building, and there's nobody that comes into an apartment building and looks for candy. But yesterday when we were talking about Halloween, I mean, I still, when you think about Halloween as a whole, putting on a costume, going to strangers' houses, knocking on their door, and asking them for something. It's the only time that behavior is acceptable is at Halloween.
Yeah, you try going to somebody's house that's not Halloween with a mask on and begging for stuff, it might not work out in your favor.
Now, here in the city of New Orleans, where Halloween could be any night of the year, you know, if you do that on other nights other than Halloween, you might get shot. There's a lot of things that could happen. I just read where, and this record changes seemingly every year or every other year, but the heaviest pumpkin, an Italian farmer named Stefano Cattruppi, he just broke a world record with a 2,702-pound pumpkin. And that just broke the record of a Belgian farmer. And you know what's interesting is the average price, the average retail price of a pumpkin this year is $5.24.
Cha-ching!
Which was up 38% from last year. So even pumpkins, inflation is hitting even the pumpkin market. But I bet you that 2,702-pound pumpkin did not sell for $5.24.
Would he even sell it?
I'll
make a big-ass jack-o'-lantern out of it.
Probably what he should do because... And by the way, a pumpkin is not a vegetable. It's a fruit. Did you know that?
I knew that. Usually, if the seeds are on the inside, most likely it's a fruit. Well, wait. Yeah, and if it's a root, it's a vegetable. Like tomatoes, it's a fruit.
Did you know that 20% of Americans will dress up their pet in a costume? I've seen a few pictures from some of my Facebook friends already. They've got their dogs wearing a costume. The number we have here is 20% of Americans do that.
That's still too high. Poor animals.
79% of parents admit to stealing candy from their kids.
They call that the parent tax. Hell yeah.
That tells me that 21% of parents are setting a bad example for their kids by lying. Because I guess there's 21% of parents who don't steal some of their Halloween candy from their kids.
When you were trick-or-treated as a kid, John, was there something that you ever got upset that you got in your trick-or-treat bag, like a candy that when you opened it, like, oh, I didn't want this crap?
Yeah, actually, when I would get an apple. And what's interesting is now that I'm an adult, I love apples. I love Granny Smith apples. I love them. But when I was trick-or-treating as a kid, somebody threw an apple in my bucket, I'd be like, what the hell is this?
Yeah, getting an apple in your trick-or-treat bag is like getting clothes for Halloween. I mean, for Christmas when you're a kid.
Yeah.
You know, you open it, isn't a sweater or some socks or something. Like, stop doing that. Toys.
And I mentioned this yesterday, and Coleman, you never did this. What I liked just as much as Halloween was the night before Halloween. We called it Mischief Night. That's the night you would load up with eggs and toilet paper and shaving cream and go around and have fun with your friends.
See, I wasn't allowed to do that because I grew up in a religious household, and my parents, well, my mom believed that Halloween was like a satanic holiday. So what they would do is everybody would go to church on Halloween night and just stay there until all the festivities were over to protect us from the evil demon spirits and all that. So I never got to do none of the cool stuff like that on Mischief Night.
That's wild, because I'm Catholic. I was raised Catholic, and I never remembered going to church Halloween.
I was raised Southern Baptist. They were a little stricter when it comes down to not getting possessed by evil demons. Yeah, I missed out on a lot of cool stuff because of religious household rules.
Maybe that's why when you became an adult, you look at religion a little bit funny.
Yeah. It's kind of restrictive.
And I just think that the whole thing is pretty cool. I'm just not a big, again, a big costume person. If I'm going to a Halloween party and all right, but I think that aspect of it is for the kids.
Yeah, my favorite part of Halloween is, as I said, is women with their creative, sexy outfits, like the sexy nurse or the sexy pirate or the sexy cat or the sexy pumpkin. Just anything they wear, you just put the word sexy in front of it, and it automatically becomes one of my fan favorites.
Yeah, even sexy witch.
Yeah, sexy witch. That son of a
sexy
Halloween's
witch. Always been a great excuse, and it was very socially acceptable for women to be scantily clad, no matter what their costume is.
Yeah, and if you see a witch at a party, you know, it's best not to jump the broom with somebody that rides the broom. One night smash, smashing pumpkins. That's it. Let's not try to find your future wife on Halloween night, guys. Be careful out there.
And seemingly, the biggest issue every Halloween is the phenomenon known as candy corn. And again, I love candy and I love corn. Corn's one of my favorite vegetables, but I just don't like them together.
Candy corn is one of those things that kind of reminds me of porn. Like, nobody admits to actually enjoying it, but it's always around and it's always successful. You see it everywhere. So somebody's eating candy corn. Somebody's buying it. Somebody's eating it. Yet everybody's looked at it like, ugh, why? So there's some people out there that have a guilty pleasure when it comes to candy corn, and they just don't want to come out and admit it.
So you think candy corn is like handy porn?
Yes.
I got to get some of that porn handy.
Wait, wrong one. That'd be good.
So we're two nights away from Halloween, and the Saints are playing on Halloween. They host Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers on Sunday.
That's scary enough.
At the Dome. Yeah, that's going to be scary. It'd be nice if the Saints could scare the poop out of Tom Brady this Halloween.
You think Ingram's going to see some touches?
He's supposed to play. They just got they got Mark Ingram back. Again, he's not the same Mark Ingram as he was 2.5 years ago. But he'll still be they need a running back too. They need someone to spell Alvin Kamara. And I think Mark Ingram will be a real good RB2. Anyways, Halloween, cool. It's for the kids, although there are a bunch of adults that love it too. That's what makes Halloween Halloween, and I hope you have a very happy Halloween in a couple of nights. Coming up on our show this morning, I still have the dumbest thing I read all morning. And this was going around yesterday, and a lot of people didn't think it was real. But unfortunately, it was real. And besides the dumbest thing, I got this story about a woman who got something stuck up her nose 20 years ago, and guess what just came out? Stay tuned for those reports coming up. here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. 20 years ago, as a child, this woman stuffed a bead up her nose. And it got stuck there. That was 20 years ago. And I just saw this headline. Woman blows out giant booger 20 years after childhood bead stuffing incident. It lived rent-free in her head for 20 years. A woman in Georgia was shocked that she thought it was a huge booger in her nose. Was actually a bead that had been lodged there for 2 decades. Saw this on TikTok. A TikTok video documenting the disgusting discovery has racked up over 7.6 million views, Coleman. I stared at it in amazement because it was huge and it was inside me for 20 years. 23-year-old Hannah Hamilton said.
So she was three.
Yeah, when she stuck the bead up her nose.
Well, yeah.
She had to be small because you usually the older you get, you wouldn't be sticking beads up your nose.
Well, that makes sense because when you're three, your nose is very, very small. Now she's a grown-ass woman. Her nostrils are probably big enough for the bead to pop out.
She suffered a sinus infection earlier this year. That's when this revolting phenomenon first came to light. And it left her nose completely congested, that sinus infection. Hoping to get to the root of the problem, she examined her nostrils with an earwax camera and discovered a blue object lodged in her nasal passage. She was able to get it out.
I don't know what's more disturbing. The fact that this woman had a bead stuck up her nose for 20 years, or the fact that she documented it on TikTok and so many people were interested in it that it became viral.
That's the one thing we've learned about the internet and social media, Coleman. There are a lot of people who have a lot of time on their hands.
Oh, just the stuff that they're interested in, like the pimple popper stuff and the grossness. Ugh, I couldn't do it.
Well, good for her.
They're lucky for her.
Here on Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station. Good morning. I'm John Osterlund. It's that time of the show where I tell you the dumbest thing I read all morning. And I actually read this yesterday. PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, wants Major League Baseball to change the name of the bullpen.
Say what?
They want baseball to change the name of the bullpen to the arm barn. Because, the bullpen name is offensive to cows. Bulls.
That is bull.
They released a statement, Coleman. According to PETA, words matter and baseball bullpens devalue talented players and mock the misery of sensitive animals. PETA Executive Vice President Tracy Ryman said, PETA encourages Major League Baseball coaches, announcers, players, and fans to change up their language and embrace the arm barn instead.
You know, I have to admit, the arm barn
is a cool name.
It is a cool name.
It is a cool name. So what they should have did, they shouldn't even mention their intentions. They shouldn't have said anything about, oh, because the bullpen might be sensitive to Bulls who might take it personally. They should have just had a random dude come up there and said, hey, doesn't Arm Barn sound a lot better than bullpen? And they would have went with it if they had not known what the real objective was. Because the Arm Barn does sound awesome.
I think some old-timers used to call it the Arm Barn.
Yeah. But what's next? Like, you can't call a crow's nest on a ship? Or if you get the majority of the profit, you can't call it the lion's share? Like, what other names do we have that Peter's against because it could devalue the animal?
See, here's what bothers me. I love animals. I would call myself an animal lover. But PETA says so many stupid, dumb, ridiculous things that it's hard to get behind them.
Exactly. And I actually like the Arm Barn, but their reason behind it is idiotic. Because what bull is going to get offended because they say bullpen in the MLB, like a lot of bulls watch the MLB?
Yeah, just the fact that any animal can be offended by bullpen, it's insane.
You know, like, you have bull riding and you have the riding of the bulls, and the bulls are upset because they heard the commentator on MLB says, well, he's warming up in the bullpen. But the Arm Barn does sound awesome, though. I gotta give him credit for that one, the Arm Barn.
Yeah, it is it's a good name. Just the reasoning of why they should change the name makes you want to just take your head and bang it against the wall.
Hi-ya!
So PETA, the People for the Ethical Treatment of Animals, wanting Major League Baseball to change the name of the bullpen to the Arm Barn because the name bullpen is insensitive to cows. Well, that's the dumbest thing I read all morning.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard. Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it. I award you no points, and may God have mercy on your soul.
Bayou 95.7, New Orleans only classic rock station.